Well, hey there, and welcome back to the podcast. Now, last week, I talked about the church that I started in 2017 with a small team called Anthem Church, and it had more listens than any episode I've ever had just on day one. I gained nearly 100 subscribers last week alone, and so on Instagram stories, I do something called Clickbait Wednesdays every week, and all the questions this week were pretty much one thing. We want to know more about Anthem Church and how you started. And so if you haven't listened to last week's episode, go ahead, pause this now, and go find the episode called Failed Pastor Reveals All.
It's all clickbait nowadays.
Yeah. Temple Baptist Church has voted to accept the LGBT community, putting them actually at odds now with many in their denomination.
Churches are a cornerstone of American life.
Do you know what the internet desperately needs? It's more clickbait.
I'm Chris Prince, and this is Clickbait Church, a podcast about culture, how the church fits into it, and what we can learn from each other. Listen up, you won't believe your ears.
So today's episode is going to be a little bit different than last week's in that while last week was mainly talking about how it ended and how I feel about it, I want to talk more about what we actually did at the church. So in today's episode, I want to break down Anthem Church into three parts: branding, launch, and growth. Now, my goal in sharing this is not to say it's the only way to start a church, but I do believe that a majority of the things I'll mention today can be and potentially should be used in many churches. Now, most likely, none of these ideas were original to me only, but it goes without saying that anyone is welcome to borrow any of these ideas in your local church as well. I mentioned last week that my wife and I knew back in 2010 that we were going to start a church in Plano, but we didn't know then what it would be called or what it would be about. And so as time progressed, I was always adding to a Google Drive folder full of church planning resources, ideas, screenshots of things other churches were doing, and the master plan. The master plan was 5 to 10 pages long, full of branding, culture, vision, and thoughts. And I just want to jump into that first, starting with branding and talking about the vision and the culture of what was Anthem Church. Now, the original name idea for the church was actually City Church. We wanted to be a church for the city, serving the city, being the city. And our goal was to launch in downtown Plano, which is technically an arts district, and we wanted to play into that with the name and the vision. But in the end, another church existed over in Frisco, a city close by, after that same name, and it was becoming too common of a name over the next few years. And so about a year before we actually left the church we were assistant pastors at, the name Anthem Church dropped into my mind one day. And before thinking about it anymore, I purchased anthemchurch.com for $14.99. Now, over the next year, I prayed and planned and dreamed and talked out the idea with many friends and ministers. And as I dreamed of a church that could be different than the norm in Plano, Texas. I prayed for a vision and message for Plano, and I felt like God gave me a clear direction. We had a vision statement. We had catchy sayings of the mission. We had a burden for the city, and soon enough, we had a logo. And the vision was simple. It was His city, His church, our anthem. The logo was a red pendant flag, and I told people often, we don't claim to be the only church in the city. It's God's city and His church, but we're going to grow this church by sharing our testimony or our anthem of how Jesus Christ changed our lives. We felt strongly that God called us to start a church for the unchurched. We were not looking to be a church that just took people from other churches and called it growth. We wanted to be a church that reached a people far from God who had never had a relationship with Him before. And a stat I quoted often was that nearly 48% of the 300,000 people who lived in Plano do not claim any religious affiliation. We had a message that we shared often. We were continually striving to be three things: life-giving, Christ-centered, and Spirit-led. We wanted to be more than just an average church. We wanted to be a church that when you visited once, you felt or you left feeling refreshed with new life. We wanted to build life-giving relationships, not based on gossip or cliques or even fake Christians. We were going to be real and open. And through that, we knew that people would see the real Jesus in us. We desired to be Christ-centered, and I don't know if there was one Sunday that I didn't point to Christ multiple times. It's what I called my sole goal for every sermon. We wanted to disciple people into pointing others to Christ as well. And lastly, we wanted to be Spirit-led. We felt it important that the move of God that happened beginning in the book of Acts and continuing with the apostles' letters, seeing how they shared the grace of God, the cause for following Christ, and the desire to live in the Spirit, we knew that we wanted to be led by that Holy Spirit in everything that we did. Now, let's talk about launch. After attending a couple of church planting seminars and doing a ton of study, reading, and conversing with other church planters, we came up with a launch plan that for us spanned roughly 10 months. The first 3 months of the launch phase was all about moving to Plano, looking for launch locations, fundraising, and reaching out to the city to meet people and tell them more about what we plan to do in Plano. The next 4 months were all about building a team, purchasing equipment, and reaching even more people all over Plano. And the last 3 months before launch were meeting weekly with our team, leading our group through discipleship courses, and launching. We made this plan in January of 2016 to start in July and for us to launch on February 26, 2017. And only by the grace of God did it happen exactly like that. In fact, we literally moved into our new house in Plano, Texas on July 1st, 2016. We reached for a team, we raised money, and we prayed that God would use us in the city of Plano for great things. Now, in September, we started having interest hangouts. That's a fancy word for meetings to attract people to tell others about Anthem Church. And I'll be honest, the first two meetings were incredibly hard in that no one showed up for either one. But I think that had to do with two things. First, we had these meetings at our house rather than in the community. And secondly, we just didn't connect with enough people in time to make good enough connections for potential people. And then a buddy of mine had a brilliant idea. Justin called me one day and he said, "Hey, I want to introduce you to the owner of this coffee shop in downtown Plano." And sure enough, after talking to him for just a bit, we rented out this coffee shop for $200 for a few hours in November and in December, offering free coffee and information about Anthem Church, this brand new church coming to downtown Plano. And from these meetings, we got connected to people, we built relationships, and when we started having team meetings in January 2017 in prep to launch the church, we had a team of more than 10 people. And I've been working with some contacts to purchase equipment and marketing material, and slowly but surely, we were prepared as much as we could be to launch on Sunday, February 26 at 10 a.m. at Memorial Elementary in East Plano. I will never forget that day. I was so nervous after getting everything set up. We were a portable church, so we got there at 7 a.m. to set everything up for a 10 a.m. service and probably didn't leave until close to 12:30 or 1. We set everything up that morning, the worship center, the kids' classes, the lobby, all the signs outside, the flags, the inside, everything that we could set up. And I remember that we met in the open lobby of the school with our team in a large circle, and we prayed. We prayed for God to make this city his home and to make a difference, all for his glory. And then I went to the back behind the stage and I paced. Probably 15 to 20 minutes, I stood back there and I paced and I prayed and I tried not to throw up. And I remember thinking, God, just please let people show up to this. God, please let me not fall on my face. God, use me. God, I know you called me here, but are you going to show me that you called me for a reason? I remember walking out that morning as the countdown video and intro video played and announcing what we were all about at Anthem Church. I got up there and began to sing the first song. It was a song called "No One Like," that the chorus says, "Your love is our anthem." And I sing my songs and then I got up and I preached a sermon from a series that I had been writing, praying about and planning for a year called Relentless. The sermon was "God Knows the Real You," and I preached it to more than 50 people that day with literally everything that I had within me. We finished service and I met every single person that came and I talked to them. I hugged some, I shook some hands, and some of them stayed after and even helped us to tear down. And then we left and we went to On the Border with the team, not a sponsor, and I slumped down into a chair, drank about 15 glasses of Coke and ate so much chips and hot sauce that I probably should have been sick. I think I ended my afternoon that day with a 4-hour nap, but I remember thinking, I hope I'm not always this tired, but even if I am, that was 100% worth every bit of the time and the tears and the sweat. It was worth it because it was the most amazing feeling I had ever had. To see something go from dreams, from God-given calling, from everything you can imagine, to see that in your head for so many years and see it actually happen on a stage, see it actually happen on a platform, if you will, in an elementary school in Plano. See that God got us there to Plano when it never felt like that was possible 7 years before, or maybe even 3 years before. To see what God did through us in just really a short amount of time was honestly mind-blowing. It was so difficult to actually recognize how far we had come, how much had changed, and how much was just completely God-given and God-desired, and finally God-realized. You know, the sermon that I preached that day is kind of an interesting and telling story of truly what the church was, because God does know the real you and he knows the real me. He knew the desires of my heart for so many years, and God knew the desires of what the city of Plano needed. And God realized and recognized that I was the man for that job. He set me up over many years and gave me the talents that I needed, gave me the opportunities that I needed to get me there. And then he didn't just leave us there. He was there backing us. He was right behind us the whole time. He was moving in our midst the entire time. And if it was not for God, Anthem Church would have never been planted. You know, over the last few weeks, as I've recorded some of these episodes specifically referencing Anthem Church, I've had former members of the church reach out and say things and remind me once again that this was not all for nothing, that God truly was in it and he truly did change lives despite me, despite everything that I tried to do to make it my own at times. Even God used me despite my own desires and my flesh. God used me to reach people and to change lives. And I truly don't understand exactly how far he took that and how many lives he truly did change, but I'm so thankful that he did. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering my listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/clickbaitchurch and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs, download a title for free, and start listening today. It's seriously that easy. Look, guys, I love Audible. It's the only time I have to get into a book these days is just by listening to it in the car. It's like a long-form podcast about a specific subject. And to download your free audiobook today, all you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/clickbaitchurch. Again, that's audibletrial.com/clickbaitchurch for your free audiobook. Now, back to the podcast. So let's talk about what came next. Well, we learned a lot for the first 4 to 5 months. In fact, within 4 months, we lost our entire launch team. From people moving due to jobs or going to other churches or just personality issues. But God saw us and he replaced that team with a larger team at the same time. 1 month into launching, we were adding more people to the team and connecting with people all over the city. We had our first baptism service 2 weeks after Easter Sunday, just 9 weeks after launching, and baptized two people. And there are some things that I've thought about a lot over the past year after leaving that church, and some things that we did wrong, some things that we did great. So first, I want to share some things that we learned the hard way. First, we learned quickly that not all portable situations are the same. The school we're meeting in had strict requirements. We could only use the gym or cafeteria and the main hallway/lobby. So we had to figure out how to fit kids in nursery and church into all of these situations. We moved kids in the worship center around many times before settling on the worship center in the cafeteria and the kids meeting in kind of a cove of the hallway with separation walls. We also learned that it's harder to reach unchurched people than we ever thought it could be. We did reach some, and we reached into the community through social media videos and post targets for unchurched people, but that honestly turned off some church people to us. We had the adverse attraction than we had hoped to, so we probably pushed more people away than we did attract through our social methods because we were so focused on reaching unchurched people. But also, we did some things right, in my opinion, and I focused on being intentional with everything that I said. I want to share a few examples. I don't think that every church has to do it this way, but I do want to share some examples that we made sure we were different, but more importantly, that we were connecting with people probably in a more thought out way. First, I had a giveaway to every person that came. In fact, we gave people two things right when they walked in the door. The first was a Connect card. It had six things to write down. Here's how I would say it. We just want to get to know you if you want to get to know us. We also gave them a worship guide, which simply had a letter from me on one side, and on the other was a place to take notes. And by the way, I always brought up notes. Every week, I inserted arrows in my notes to point out for people to write things down. And lastly, if they turned in that connection card, they got a free Anthem Church shirt. Every single person that came to our church got a shirt for free. We bought a ton in bulk at the very beginning and gave them out for the entirety of our church services. Another thing we did was we announced offering and tithes every week the exact same way. Here's how we would say it. If you're a member of Anthem, don't forget to drop your tithes and offerings in the box on your way out the door. If this is your first time here today, this service is our gift to you. We ask that you don't give unless you feel Jesus is telling you to. What we found with that is that people felt more comfortable about giving. We didn't have to talk about it all the time. And when we did say anything more than that, it was actually to share how our giving had gone and reached more people. We gave to another church that planted near us. We gave to a missionary that was going to the country of Africa. And I made sure and let people know where that money was going and what it was accomplishing. We also pushed everyone to a hub site for everything that they needed from us. No, go find so-and-so for this or go sign up on this website, but another website for this. If you have a prayer request, go to the online hub. Want to get baptized? Go to the hub. Want to join the team? Go to the hub. Want to give? Go to the hub. Want to join a small group? Go to the hub. This hub was the go-to website. In fact, near the end, we actually had a place for people to take notes through the hub and then just send it directly to their email that went along with the sermon. And I had specific parts of my notes added in so that they could follow along as I preached. Lastly, everything that we did was focused around only four things. We borrowed a very popular church world statement to explain it, and it was this: know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. It's really simple. Know God. Well, we help people to know God in our weekend services. Find freedom. We help people to find freedom through small groups. Discover purpose. We want you to do that through going through our growth track. And lastly, make a difference. We want to help you make a difference by joining the team. By making everything center around those four things, we made sure to get rid of excess church programs and things that potentially caused harm or could have caused more issues. I think that narrowing it down to just those four things made it easier for us to accomplish more as a small church. You know, for all that we had right with our systems and our branding and our intent, all of that is for naught if God's Spirit isn't there with you in your services. And we felt God, and He met us there often, but I can wholeheartedly say that I knew God wanted more from us. And I see it now more than ever that systems and process can never replace or fulfill the need for God to be in your church. I'm at a church now that was our main partner and benefactor while planning Anthem Church, and I've taken some of those same methods, systems, and processes from Anthem and have brought versions of them to my church now. And every week, I get to co-teach our growth track to 10 to 15 people and tell new people about who we are as a church. And it's not just talk, because they get to go to service and see it lived out by its people too. And I get to lead worship with 400 or more Christians and watch God move in our services. And I get to reach to people and make a difference with people also making a difference. So what about the ending? What about what happened to Anthem Church near the end? Well, I can say, as a young pastor, I realized that there were more things that I needed to learn than there were things I already knew. And as we got into discipleship and we got into working with our people more and more, one of the biggest things I recognized was that I was not clear enough about the direction of Anthem Church. While Anthem Church looked different than other churches I had been a part of, or maybe even some of my team had been a part of, the goal for Anthem was to always get to the place that God wanted a church to be. A biblically based church, a Christ-centered church, a church that was centered around salvation and seeing people's lives changed. And along the way, part of that kind of didn't make it in the story. It didn't make it in the conversations that I had with people because I made some assumptions that people were going to be on the same page as me at all times without me having to say everything. Unfortunately, that means that some of my team had a different idea of where the church could go than where I was wanting it to go. Because it wasn't communicated well enough, that divisiveness began to creep into the church as a whole. And I do not blame any one person for any of that except for myself, because it's my lack of vision and it was my lack of discussion with people that really brought it to the place that it was in the end. Without fully coming out and just and telling the story with details and discussing the people that were all involved, I think it really comes down to this. In the end, my wife and I had to make a very hard decision. And that decision was we were going to keep the church going on the vision and the path that it was currently going on, despite how we felt about it. Or we felt like we were going to have to make some vital changes to what was happening at the church and make some cultural changes as well. Because of that difficult decision, we felt like we had to go the route of making cultural changes so that the church could get back on the path that it needed to be on. But to do that was going to potentially push a majority of our team away. What happened was, as we began to get in the process of getting that back on track, people started leaving. And that's a really difficult thing as a church planner to deal with. Again, I've talked about it some last week. It's difficult to watch people walk away from you and something that you dreamed of and prayed about for so long, like a church that you've planted now. It's so hard to watch people walk away from it and recognize that it was probably you and the decisions that you made. Over the span of 2 weeks, we found out that a majority of our team was leaving and that the rest were actually in the process of either leaving or, moving away because of jobs or just feeling very uneasy about everything happening. And so for us, we knew we could do one of two things at that point. We could stop the church completely, or we could begin having, smaller versions in our house and regroup and just grow everything again and prepare to kind of relaunch as a church. But in the process of discussing what that would look like with my wife and also with our pastor at the time, we recognized that we didn't know if we were even in a place that we were ready to do that. We were so defeated and hurt and sad about the things that had happened over the past 4 to 6 weeks or so that we just did not know how to navigate the future in a way that would not just end in total despair and destruction of what the church was in the first place. I remember sitting across from my pastor and pastor's wife at a coffee shop one day, and I think it was a Sunday afternoon, as I shared just where my heart was and how hard and difficult it had been, and crying and trying not to get super emotional. And they looked at me and they recognized the difficulty that we were facing, and they prayed with us. And they stood with us, And when in the end we decided the better option is to close the church down and regroup and do this again in the future, they stood with us and they said, we believe in you. We know that you can do this again. And we understand why you're doing it the way that you are. Now, this has not always been, you know, in the public. I didn't post about it on social media in a way that everyone would understand exactly what happened. I remember making a post on the last service that we had, kind of explaining what was going on, that we were ending this church and focusing on the positive completely. But the fact is that we were hurt. We were sad. We were in pain from all of the things that had happened, and we didn't know how to talk about it. People talked to us about it and they tried to ask questions, and honestly that probably made it worse in some way. But in the end, what we needed more than anything was the thing that ended up fixing our heart and our mind and our hurt, and that was joining a church and worshiping God and falling on our faces before him and recognizing our failures, recognizing the areas that we messed up, but also saying, God, we know that this is the city we are called to. God, we know that this is the place that we will end up one day again. And so until then, we're going to serve you in the way that we can. We're going to serve you in the only way we know how. And we don't know what that looks like for the next few years, but we're going to do it until you are ready for us to start a church in Plano. And when you are, we'll be there and we'll be ready. When we got close to our 1 year anniversary of the church, one thing that I wanted to do was communicate a new vision. And so I felt like I needed to have a catchy saying or a mission, if you will. And as I was praying one day and reading scripture, I stumbled across a verse that I kind of borrowed, and I changed some words out, and I came up with a theme of until Plano knows his name. The idea was that we would not stop until Plano knows his name. It was unfortunately probably 6 months later when we did have to stop having church. But the mission of we won't stop until Plano knows his name continually lives on. Even in the church that we're a part of now, in the city of Dallas, we are able to do small groups in the city of Plano. We are able to continually reach people in Plano through our jobs, through our home, and we are continually a part of this city. We're not leaving. We're not running out of this city just because something didn't go the way that we thought that it would. We know that one day we will start a church again in Plano, and I truly believe that God will bless it, and that through things we have learned and things that we have been prepared for, that it will be so much better and bigger and more godly than Anthem Church ever was. So no, we won't stop until Plano knows his name. And I truly believe that one day more of Plano will know his name. I don't want the story of what Anthem Church was to die just because the church is no longer around. The story still exists, and I know that it will continue to touch people's lives and make changes in people's lives. And God is still working through a church that doesn't meet anymore. So it may not be the church's mission, but it's now mine. I won't stop until Plano knows his name.
Well, that's Clickbait Church, hosted by me, Chris Prince. I hope you're enjoying my little experiment. You can follow or subscribe to Clickbait Church on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, or any other app that you use to get notified of every new episode. Check out clickbaitchurch.com for a list of your favorite podcast sources. This episode was written and produced by me. The theme music comes from Andrew Applepie. Thanks for listening. See you soon.